Track 3, Side 1, Dhammadhero Atwat Playing Vipassana, Date Unknown, 25-18.
Trying to control makes us tense. It is a kind of agricola. Try to change things, to try to control. Is the opposite of satipatthana. Sati is natural. Relax in a gusala way. Not relax in a sloppy, lazy way. Relax in the sense that the self is not resting heavily on our shoulders, trying to make us do this, make us do that. Every time there is sati, it is like a relief. There may be some particular distance, I don't know, from what you said. If you remember some aspect of Dhamma, there may be gusala chitta for a moment, but it may not be, it probably would not be satipatthana from what you say. But if you realize that it is just thinking, just gusala citta, not self, then that could be sati of the Eightfold Path at that moment, just for a very short moment. It could arise any time.
What does it mean to have awareness of awareness, sati of sati?
It means that you know sati is not self.
That moment.
Mm-hmm. If there is wisdom also. And if there is not wisdom, then it is not worth developing sati. We must understand why we develop sati. We develop sati so that we can understand those realities of which we are aware. So we can understand the realities that sati is aware of. Not just to have a lot of sati. No reason. No point. Who wants to have sati? Self wants to have sati, right?
Yes.
That is not the path. Of satipatthana at that moment. It is not the right understanding. What is the one and only hindrance to the right development of satipatthana? The one and only. Self. Wrong understanding. Self is wrong understanding. So whenever there is wrong understanding, there cannot be sati. And if our wrong understanding is very strong, sati can never arise. When it is weaker, sati can arise here and there. But the more we try to control, the less sati can arise. We give it no opportunity to arise. We are always around to direct it, to take over, to take charge. And you'll notice that in the beginning, whenever there is sati, the self is there immediately.
Straight away.
Straight away. Yes. And we don't see it. Because in the beginning, we are not aware of sati. Sati is not aware of sati. This is why Kunti Sin keeps emphasizing over and over again. There is a difference between the moments when there is sati and the moments when there is no sati. And we have to become more familiar with the difference, because this helps us to know the characteristics of sati. The moments when there is sati and the moments when there are no sati, they are different. Very important to see more clearly the difference between these moments. Moments when there is and moments when there is not sati. This is getting to know sati as it is. Can visible objects appear if there is no experience of visible objects? Close your eyes. Visible objects do not appear anymore. theater, you think I am here. But if you only see visible objects, then you think that the visible object is someone. But when you close your eyes, nothing. Nothing. But they are just sankhara. Yes. That's all. They are not me. Sankhara Dhamma, seeing is sankhara Dhamma too. Color is sankhara Dhamma, and it means not person. Sankhara Dhamma means conditioned reality. So sankhara Dhamma is not me, not you. Why? Because visible object is only visible object. What you see now is visible. That's all. Close your eyes, it does not appear. I agree, the visible object is still there, but it arises and falls away all the time. There's visible object behind you, arising and falling away. But it is not carpet, it is not wall, it is not painting. It's just visible object. If I don't think about the shape of what I see, I will not know that it is you or a kettle. I have to think about the shape, all the details, to know. But it happens so fast that we do not see the difference. Elizabeth, close your eyes for a moment. What color are the curtains in this room? There are no curtains. Can you see them over there on the door? I'm sure you've seen them many times when you come into this room. But if we don't think about it, we will not know that it is curtain and it is green, etc., etc. But you cannot say when you walk in that door and you come in this room and walk around and look around that you do not see it. But if we don't think about it, we will not know that it is curtain and it is green, etc., etc. But you cannot say when you walk in that door and you come in this room and walk around and look around that you do not see it. But seeing is one thing. Knowing what we see is another thing. Maria, can you close your eyes for one moment, please? What color are the cups in front of me?
I don't know.
Would you like to have a look? Red cups. I'm sure that you've seen them. But seeing is one thing, and knowing exactly what it is we see, the shape, the color, the name, is another thing, different moment. It is mental visual object. Mental visual object. But it does not appear through eyes because your eyes are closed. It only appears through mind, and it is a kind of thinking. Thinking in pictures, not thinking in words. Because if we close our eyes now and we think about some people that we know, mother, father, brother, sister, we may think that we can see his or her face very clearly. And we may be able to see the lines on the face or marks or anything, the color of the eyes. But this is just a mental image. It is not the same as seeing. It is different. But it, I was going to say it is real. The thinking is real, but it is only thinking. There is no visible object at that moment appearing. Different from seeing. If you look now at what you see, and you take a photograph now, and you look at the photograph later, then the moment of looking now and the moment of looking at the photograph is the same. It's seeing and thinking. But when you look at the photograph, you think about different things than what you think about now. So now you think about maybe the Buddha image, and maybe you think about us a little bit, about what we look like. But you may not think about these two cups. You may not think about these glasses here. And then when you look at the photograph, you may think about the glasses. And you may think, oh, I didn't see the glasses. But you see, it's not just seeing. It's seeing and thinking, or seeing and knowing, and they are different. But kinds of jittas, different moments. But we have this idea of self who does everything. Sees, knows, hears. We don't understand that they are different moments of jitta, and each jitta is not self. It's different, arises because of different conditions, and then falls away immediately. At the moment of thinking, there is no seeing. At the moment of seeing, there is no thinking, because one moment, only one jitta. Even now, while we sit here, because of our memory, and because of our wrong understanding and attachment, we think it is I sitting here looking at you over there. Some of you I like, some of you I don't like, some of you I don't mind, and sometimes I like you and sometimes I don't. Many different ideas about what we see. But we don't realize that at one moment while we sit here, one jitta. It may be the jitta of seeing, and at the moment of seeing there is nothing else. There is just the experience of visible objects. At the moment of seeing, no hearing, no thinking, no knowing. And that is what we think is us. The experience of visible object we think is a person that can sit and walk and talk, but it is not. And in the next moment they may be thinking about what is seeing. And at the moment of thinking, there is no seeing anymore. Seeing has completely fallen away. And no hearing yet either, just thinking. And we think that the thinking is me, again. But it is just a different moment of jitta. To understand what we are talking about, we have to study about different kinds of nama and rupa in great detail. And it takes time to understand the process, too, of mind door and sense door. And if the story is not the object, how can the story appear? The only reason that we think we are in a vihara here is because we think about it. We have the story going on in our heads about people talking Dhamma.
So the greater part of our day is not real.
All of our day is real, from beginning to end, I mean, we don't know it. It's real in the sense that it is fixed always, nama and rupa, but we don't know it. We think that it is me and my one world of self, and that isn't real. That's just an idea we have, and a wrong idea too, because our whole day is lots of moments of jitta, one after the other, and each moment of jitta is real. But so long as we are thinking about stories and ideas and wrong views, with attachment and with dosa, we have wrong understanding, agupala citta, then there is all those moments, there is no awareness of the truth. no awareness of reality as it is. Because we are too happy with our story, or too unhappy with our story. We don't want the story to disappear. Haven't you noticed how we like the story to go on and on and on? We're not interested in being aware. We don't really want to be aware of what appears. We want to be aware of thinking, first and foremost. Right? I think too much. I shouldn't think about this. I shouldn't think about that. It's still just I again. Controlling. Wanting us to think about the things we want to think about. Thinking we should think about these things and not about those things. Or sometimes thinking we shouldn't think at all. Just not awareness. Picking on reality, choosing what we think we ought to be aware of, trying to get rid of anger first, trying to control again, thinking we couldn't have such strong attachment. When you think you shouldn't have such strong attachment, at that moment there is no awareness. I just want to remind you, because it's important to be reminded in this area too. We have so many questions about thinking. And it's so important to us. And why this is so important to us, it is a barrier. Because when you think that something is more important than another thing, it's very difficult to be aware. Because it's the idea of it's the self that thinks that one thing is important, more important than another. Bunya doesn't think that one thing is more important than another, not the Bunya that knows characteristics. Bunya at a different level may realize the value of listening to Dhamma, and realize that it is valuable to listen to Dhamma and not valuable to listen to football, say. Bunya may realize that, say, one thing is more valuable than another. But when Bunya is aware of characteristics, at those moments, Bunya doesn't think about anything. Bunya doesn't think about this is better than that, or this is more valuable than that, or this is more important than that. Bunya just knows that what appears is what it is. Not self, not a person. Bunya knows that it is color, knows that it is... When I say knows that it is color, I don't mean that it thinks, ah, this is color, not me. Or this is color, not me. But it knows the visible object, which we don't know now. We see it, and we think about it, and we like it, and we don't like it. But we don't know it as it really is. We theorize about it. We have doubts about it, but we don't know it as it really is, because Bunya isn't strong enough to know these characteristics at the very beginning, exactly as they are, the gradual process. And in the beginning, we know there's something happening in the eye door, and we know it's not ear door. We don't know exactly whether it's seen or cut. We are still confused about exactly which reality appears, but we know there is a difference between ear door and eye door. And before we heard about Dhamma, we didn't even really appreciate that difference, not in the way that we do after we hear about Dhamma. If somebody says to a man who has never heard Dhamma that seeing is not the same as hearing, he would say, that's right. When I see, it's not the same as when I hear. And when he says that, he really means I. See, I hear. And he can say that they are not the same, but he doesn't really understand in what way they are not the same, because he thinks he identifies with both. Just like a child can say, yes, hardness. But he thinks the cup is hard. Hardness is not a cup. Hardness is hardness. So it is not awareness just to say, oh yes, hard, mm-hmm, yes, soft, color, yes. That is not being aware. Anybody can do that, right? You don't have to hear Dhamma to be able to say, hmm, cold, hot, yes.
In order to reach enlightenment, there's one, no matter where one is, or no matter who one hears from, has to hear about the truth. In terms of the six doorways.
You know how hard it is to be aware, don't you? How often do you hear about awareness? every day. There are many monks and lay people who hear it once a week if they're lucky.
Buddhists, I mean,
once a month, because they don't realize the value of listening to Dhamma. We hear it every day about be aware of the visible object, be aware of this, that, the other, nama, rupa, not self, not self, not self, and yet still, days, weeks go by perhaps, no awareness. If you didn't hear it at all, what would your chances be? Like now we know, in theory, that visible object is not self, but we still find ourselves saying, but I see people. Now, if you never heard about it, would you ever come to this conclusion by yourself, that what you see is not a person? Never, never, never.
Until I figured out eventually of what it seems, its colors. I mean, like,
is that sati? Is that panya?
No, it's but that's the finally arriving at the conclusion that they see people.
We can't tell the difference between nama and rupa, which is the first step, the very first step, and we're not there. And yet we hear about nama and rupa, all kinds of dhamma, all day long. We sit, we study, we talk, we try to lead lives that are full of kusala, we keep precepts as best we can, we try to develop generosity when we find an opportunity, depending on our accumulation. Still, it's so difficult to have awareness of anything. And if you have never ever heard that the nama and rupa are not self, what words he uses.
Right.
He can talk about Rama and Nupa if he likes. Doesn't matter. Seeing, Danhen, Saku Vinyana, the words are not important. But he must talk about reality. That which appears through the eye door is that which appears through the eye door in whatever language you use. If a man doesn't talk to you about the truth of the six doorways, then you can't develop awareness of what appears through six doorways. And if people tell us we have to do this, go here, do that, and that it's something special, strange, different, this is not the way to detachment. This is not the way to understanding. This person is not Galayana Mitta. Right, Galayana Mitta. Mitta means friend, Kalyana means good. And a good friend is the friend who tells us how to be aware. Somebody who helps us to develop detachment, not attachment. People who help us to develop generosity. People who help us to observe precepts. And most of all, those who are able to help us to understand the truth of our daily lives. Naturally. When people talk about controlling and forcing and doing, and I use doing in inverted commas, doing something, this means something special in your life. Like at certain times of the day or in certain places, you have to do this if you want to be aware. This does not lead to detachment, it increases desire and attachment. Because the more you want sati, the more you are determined that you will do this special thing, regardless. When we are aware, each moment we are aware, there is immediately detachment because we see how useless it is to try to do anything. It's already been done. Finished. Dapla. Extinguished. Gone. Fallen away. Already. Fallen away again. Already. Seen. No knowing. No hearing. Speech. Gone. Visible object? No. Sound. Gone. It's done. There's no use you can do. There's not even a use you can know that me can't do, because it's already known. It is known by Banya. And then Banya has done its job. Finished. Fallen away. Sati is not self. Banya is not self. We are always too late. The self is always too slow. Chitta is the reality, and Chitta is much faster than self. Some people try to slow down reality by maybe moving very slow. But you cannot change Chitta. Chitta arises and falls away at the same speed all the time. If you hurry, 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 or if you go very slowly, Chitta still arises and falls away at the same speed. When you do things slowly, seeing still seems as fast as ever. And when you do things very slowly, seeing still seems as fast as ever. When you do things quickly, lopa, still as quickly as ever. And when you do things slowly, lopa, still as fast as ever. Our doubt, as quick as ever. Doubts do not slow down when you slow your body down. Doubt just as fast. Fear just as fast. If you are doing things very slowly and you see a snake, I am sure that there will be a sudden change in your behavior. You do things very slowly and a centipede goes up your leg. You suddenly forget to do things slowly, don't you? Because fear is just as fast as ever. It's just the self who wants things when we do things slowly, wants to control. Very greedy for sati, very greedy for wisdom. But that is not the path to understand. That is not the path of detachment. I even know people who have to shut the door when they meditate because they are so ashamed that somebody might see them doing things slowly. This shows you how unnatural it is, how forced it is. Because you can't let anybody see us. Can you tell when somebody is having awareness? Can you tell when someone is having awareness, when someone is aware? Are you sure? Of course, you cannot see sati. What can you see, Lainet? Visible object only. You cannot see sati. Another thing, if we try to do something special, it is a way of letting everybody know that we are developing sati. Going to become arahata. That is not detachment. That is not wisdom. So the good friend doesn't tell us to go and do something special. I must point out that what we mean here is something special, something unnatural, something different. Something that is not ordinary, everyday life. To eat in a special way. To walk in a funny way. To go and live in a special place. To make sure that you are alone all the time. If you have not heard what you must hear, if you do not hear the truth from a Galyana Mitra, then when you are alone, will you be really alone or not? No, you will take all your bad friends, the Galesa, with you. You take your wrong understanding and your desires and your doubts all with you into your little room, into your forest, into your kutti. You cannot be alone. You cannot have sati. Only when you're in sati are we alone. And then what are we alone with? We are alone with different kinds of nama and rupa. At the moment when Sati is aware of visible objects, there is only visible objects.
That's all.
But when we take wrong view and desire with us, then wherever we go, there is still us who is going to develop awareness. Me who is going to become enlightened. I who am going to purify myself. That is not the path of being aware of what appears now wherever we are. At any moment, any place, beyond control. We don't know what will happen next. Will it be seeing or will it be hearing? Will it be pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling? Will it be dosa or will it be banya or will it be, you know? Elizabeth, if you try to do that, are you sure that you will be successful? You read it and you think, right, what have I got? Yes, I've got this and that and the other. Okay, now I mustn't have it, right? What are you talking about? What did the Buddha always talk about? He's talking about reality, nama and rupa. And why did he say that? What was his purpose? Before he said those words, I'm not saying he had to think carefully before he said those words, but this is just my way of asking you. What was his purpose in talking in that way? And when he said it to the monks, did all the monks immediately have banya? Can you read it? Do you have banya immediately?
No.
Why did the Buddha say it? So that he could... So the monks would all then get themselves together and do something special and make wisdom come. So why did the Buddha say it? What was the reason for everything the Buddha said? Everything the Buddha said was useful. He never said anything that was useless. Useful in what way? How do we understand reality? Why did he say these things to us? So that we might be aware, so that it could be a condition for awareness to arise. You see, the Buddha knew the value of awareness.
Dhammadero at Wat Plang Vipassana, the 23rd of September, 2518.
Understanding is always helpful when it arises. It's a condition for detachment immediately, right? And the kind of feeling of relief too. Detachment is relief. Because when we're not detached, we're carrying so much around with us, so many problems, burdens, hopes, plans, dreams, that are so important and so heavy. But when you realize that what really matters is Gusala and that all the rest is holding one back, then that can be a condition for quite some lightness at those moments. There must be tranquility with every Gusala Chitta, even if there isn't understanding. There is tranquility at the moment of giving. Tranquility when we restrain ourselves. Every Gusala Chitta arises with tranquility. But what we call tranquility meditation is when that tranquility is developed. But there's a difference, isn't there, between moments of Gusala Chitta and moments of Agusala Chitta, even at the level of giving. Yes, there are different levels. Because Gusala with understanding is a condition for detachment. It's understanding which performs the function of detachment. When there is Gusala Chitta without understanding, there is still tranquility, but there is not the detachment.
not in the sense that understanding brings detachment. In a way, there's detachment with every kusala citta, because there is alopa, which is the opposite of loka. But when we talk about detachment, we don't usually mean just simply alopa. We are talking about what understanding does. The word detachment in a slightly different way. So to have kusala citta with understanding is different from kusala citta without understanding. We know from our own experience that is true. Before we heard anything about the teachings of the Buddha, about the way to understand the truth, we still had kusala cittas from time to time, now and again. There were moments in our life when we exercised restraint, I'm sure. Perhaps for some of us there were quite a lot of moments of generosity. It depends on our accumulation. But we never understood what it was all about on any level, really. We guessed, we had theories, we had preferences as to the way we thought it might be or should be or ought to be, but we didn't have the confidence that comes from the kind of understanding that one can begin to have when one hears what the Buddha had to say. Before that, there may have even been agusala citta, but that agusala citta didn't condition the gusala citta. The gusala citta arose in spite of the agusala one, not because of. We make a wrong connection here, and it's a very serious misunderstanding. We sometimes notice how certain types of agusala are followed by gusala. Therefore, we think that to have more gusala, we have to have more agusala, which is, of course, not right. Whenever we have any kind of understanding, we often connect it with what went before, because we cling to it as soon as we've had it, and we would like to have more. And we have always understood that causes and effects come kind of one after the other, so that if you were washing your clothes and you had some awareness, there was something about washing your clothes at that moment that caused you to have awareness. And I know it sounds silly, but sometimes you can even think that, you know, maybe we could, next time we wash our clothes, we will have some kind of understanding again. Or if we don't connect it with the washing of the clothes, we'll connect it with the fact that that day we were very, very relaxed or something. And so we will think, now if I can make myself relaxed again, like the day when I was washing my clothes, I'll have more understanding. So then we try to make ourselves relaxed. Or we might notice, say that we have some understanding one day when we're walking alone down by the beach. Then we might think that we always have to be alone because it happened while we were alone. And so then we will always be wanting to be alone. And that would be wrong understanding, which would make it impossible not only for awareness to arise when we were alone, nearly impossible anyway, but also when we were with other people. Because we make wrong connections all the time. And making these wrong connections is because we desire sati so much. Because we want to engineer things, manipulate the situation and have as much sati as we can. Even when we know the most important condition for sati, which is right understanding, which depends upon reading, studying, listening, considering, even though that is the right condition, still it doesn't mean that the awareness comes when you're reading the book. That the awareness comes when you're considering, it can come any time. So even though the absolutely vital condition for right understanding is listening, studying, considering, still the awareness doesn't have to come at those moments. So you're still unable to control in any way. Some people think that, well, if it studies its conditions awareness, then we can control it. All we have to do is study a lot. But this is wrong understanding in many ways, because just wanting to study for one thing doesn't mean that you'll be able to. You think, we already know the value of study, but how often in a day do we find that agusala hinders us from in our studies, and that we don't want to study, even though we know, or we have known at times, that it's valuable? We forget. We want to forget. Or we remember, but sort of half-heartedly. We think there are other things that are more important. It would be good to study, but, well, this is my only chance to see so-and-so, or to do such-and-such, or to go to this place, that place. If I don't go now, I may never be able to go. Again, I can always study any time, so I better go. And our wanting to go might not have any connection with Gupala at all. It might be just an old tie we have with a particular person, someone we haven't seen for a long time. There's no reason why we shouldn't go, but we shouldn't kid ourselves, deceive ourselves, that going to see that person is more important than Gupala. That's not true. If we go, we go. There are conditions for us to go. But it's not true to think that it's more important. So even though we know that study is a very helpful, a necessary condition to get a good foundation, a right understanding so that sati can arise, still we can't control whether or not we'll study, or for how long we'll study, or whether we will study with Gusala Chitta, because as we talked once before, we may think, and I think we often do, that picking up the book and opening it and starting to read it is study. But you begin to see after a while that that's not study either. If you can read the same passage over and over again, and sometimes nothing sinks in at all. And even when it does, it can be so superficial that you could hardly call it true study, true consideration. Or we might understand it in theory and say, yes, that's true. I do understand it, that's true. But then we forget to apply it to the reality of our life at this moment or at any moment. Like someone might quiz us on Abhidhamma. And we might understand their question well enough to be able to answer their questions very quickly, in rapid succession, without any mistake. They might think we're clever, and we might think that we are clever. And nobody could say we didn't have some understanding. But it's not exactly useful understanding if at those moments we are not applying any of what we hear, any of what we say, any of what we understand to the reality of our life. So somebody says, how many jittas arise with unpleasant feeling? And you say, three. One through body sense and two with dosimala jitta. Smile. You're right. But anybody can say that. You could teach your little brother who's 3 or 4 years old perhaps to remember the answer off by heart. But he wouldn't have any idea of the significance of that in his life. So even to be able to understand the words and to know that, yes, that's right. Yes, I know the Buddha said that and I know it's true. Doesn't mean that you happen to have any gusala even at that moment. You have to see that it's relevant to yourself, to life at that moment, that it's real, before you can call it study on any level. So you see, there's no way in which we can control anything. Knowing that understanding is necessary is a condition for study. It can condition one to study more. But also all the accumulated lopa will condition one to not want to study, because there are so many other things that one will want to do so often. Or one will study, but one will be sitting down with the books there, one will be daydreaming. Or one will read a sentence, and one will understand it a little bit, but then there will be conditions for this other little thought to pop in immediately after, but it's just like something you read somewhere else. A couple of weeks ago, what was it? And then you're off, trying to remember what you read in this other book, and then you compare it, and who knows where you might end up. It could be quite a lot of agusala instead of gusala. Or you might speculate about the future. You might think, oh, just think what this would mean. If we could turn the politicians onto this, we could revolutionize society, and then you're off. You're planning a new constitution, or a new society, or a new communal living, or a new way to filter water or something. Any number of themes that you can get carried away with for hours. Or you might just be planning what you're going to say to so-and-so when you see him next, because what you've understood now has helped you to be able to handle this guy in future. So you start planning dialogue the next time you see him. If he says that, well, I'm going to say this. No, he might say that, so I better change it. You plan a whole dialogue that probably never take place. And that doesn't have to be goofy, it can be all agusala. That's in the middle of your study. So you're sitting there having heaps and heaps of agusala jitsis in the middle of what you call your study. And you may not have any awareness and realize that there are agusala jitsis. So to know that study is useful, but it doesn't mean that one can control, or that one can study at will, or that one is necessarily going to have lots of awareness. And even if one can study, as I said, the awareness will arise when it's ready. And that doesn't have to be while you're studying. Some people say that they have a lot of awareness when they talk about Dhamma. When I'm in a discussion group, I find that I can have a lot of awareness. Or when they're studying their books, or when it's quiet. And it can be true for some people. But like me, for instance, I often find that in a Dhamma discussion, there may be less than at other times. And it can be like that too. Nobody knows when sati will arise, what will be the right moment.